Heavenly Father, once again we approach Thee, O Lord, in Thy Word, and we are thankful, Father, for this privilege, Lord, to come again today. For those who are not here today, Lord, by whatever reason that keeps them home, we pray, Father, that You be with them. And those that are not well, Father, we ask that You touch them, Lord. And especially the young people, O Lord, the young ones, we pray, Father, You strengthen their health, Lord, at this time of the season. And we pray for even the older ones too, that You touch them also, Father. And we pray, Father, that we continually, by Thy grace and Thy mercy, Lord, that You have granted us to walk in the light. And to hold fast to the faith, O Lord, that we have. And to examine ourselves as often as we could, knowing the hour that we live in. For Christ, Lord, is soon to come back to take His bride home. So, Heavenly Father, we praise You, we thank You for all that You have done for us, and we give You praise and glory, Lord, in the gift that You have granted us in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. God bless all of you. You may be seated. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and verse 17. Our thought, of course, our subject is the sufficiency of the Scripture of God. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, the question is, as we already look into it, and as Christian, we all believe. But I'm bringing out this topic to ingrain into us how the importance of the inspired Word of God. Whether the whole Scripture that we know today, the 66 book, we call the Scripture of God, as a volume, as one volume, what we call the Holy Bible, is this volume of Scripture sufficient for our faith? Is it sufficient for our walk with our Creator? Or is there more to be added to the Scripture? Because of what we see in denomination today, there are several thousands of denominational groups in the church in the world today. And everybody have their own ideas. Every of this system have their own ideas of their relationship with God, how it should come about, and what they think God is doing in their life regarding His revelation to them. How it should come about. Some have taken away the Word of God, the Scripture, portions of it, when they say it is redundant. Some have added more to it. So our question is, for us, believers today, now as I say this, I'm not a theologically trained preacher to come here and bring you intellectual academic understanding of the Bible. I'm here to tell you the truth of what the Bible says And you might say, Brother God, what authority do you have that you can teach us so? Simply this, that God called me. And if a man who is called of God, he should preach the word of God without fear of what men out there may say. And let everybody judge for themselves according to the word of the Lord. If they feel that they can judge according to their system, then of course I fail. Because in every system, to every system, Jesus Christ failed. The Pharisees did not accept him because he doesn't conform. His teaching did not conform to their system. Neither the Sadducees accept him because his teaching did not conform to their system. Is that right? So they reject him and they crucify him. And when they crucify him, they crucify the word of God. Not just the man. It's the word of God that they rejected because he preached it. And if Jesus did not preach the word, they would have crucified him, wouldn't they? Would they? No, they would. The same thing today. If I were just to remain silent and go to church and don't say nothing, I won't be crucified. But because I open my mouth and tell the truth, I'm crucified. So the authority of what is truth based upon this 66 book we call the Holy Scriptures. So now the Bible begins to tell us here, the only verse in Scripture, that all Scripture is inspired, is given by inspiration of God. That is in breath of God. The only verse in Scripture. No other verse in Scripture tells you like this. As the word inspiration, it means to say that as far as this verse is concerned, it's different from other kind of inspiration you may have upon some books, upon maybe poem or poetry. You understand, right? Some people can write very good poem or poetry, and people say, wow, this, a critic may say, this is truly inspired. But that inspiration is not in breath of God. Do you understand? Inspired means to say that the person is given a special kind of anointing or special kind of emotion or passion so stir up that he can just write something beautiful. Isn't that right? Sure. A child could say something, they can say, wow, that's inspired saying. You know. Some influence upon a person to write something nice or to say something nice. But when the Bible says the Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it is in breath by God. That every word that's so used in the Scripture is precise. You cannot move the Word of God to put it in another place. You cannot dislocate it and misplace it. And then you would have a misinterpretation. Do you understand that? Huh? So now when we realize this now, the question is the Scripture therefore all sufficient for us? And when we say we believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, what do we mean by sufficiency? Or the word sufficient in the dictionary means being equal to the end proposed, adequate to the need, having enough. Or enough. That's sufficient. When you serve somebody a big bowl of, you know, good food, and when you tuck it in, and you find out, well, he tried his best, just finished every bit on the plate, and you ask him, have you had enough? Is that sufficient food? Have you taken sufficient food? He said, yes, that's enough. I could not take one more bit in. Sufficient means enough. And so the Bible, here we have 66 books. This 66 book is sufficient for our faith. We cannot add to it, we cannot take away from it. The Bible is not more than sufficient, it's sufficient. Or you can give a child a big bowl. And he said, Mom, that's too much. That's more than sufficient, I couldn't eat so much. So he maybe take a small portion away. And said, this portion then is sufficient for me. So you see, you cannot add to it or take away from it. You cannot say the Bible is more than sufficient. It's just sufficient. God don't have more than enough for you. It has just enough for your need. Huh? So that when we say that the Bible is sufficient to meet our need, therefore we cannot add to it now. Alright, I want to say a few other things here when we look at this. There is a great influence in our present day of the different denominations coming up with the different ideas of how God relates to them when look at the scriptures and how they began to add certain things outside of scriptures to the Bible. Now, since the Reformation time, the days of Martin Luther, Zwingli, Hudson, Hooks, many of these reformers, God stirred them up to take a stand for the truth against the Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church had taken away the Bible from the common people. And if you go and look into history, you know how many millions of people were killed. 68 million people were destroyed because they do not agree with the Catholic Church. 68 million people that stood against the Catholic Church, not all of them are Christian. Some are even pagan people. Some are even Muslim people. You understand that? Because they do not bow down to the system. But for those Christians in that time, those that read the Bible or happen to be able to disagree using the scripture to disagree with the Catholic Church, they were arrested, tortured, and then put to death and burned at the stake. You probably have read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Now, why did these reformers protest against the system? Because the Catholic Church not only take the Bible away and tell the people that you could not understand the Bible, only the priest could. So the people were forbidden from reading the scriptures. Scriptures were even taken and burned away and destroyed. The Catholic Church would keep their own, and their own, what we call the Roman Catholic version, called the Doyle Bible. And with that, of course, they tried to interpret the scripture to the people. And therefore, we have a system today. The Catholic Church is so big because why? People are under deception. People were deceived into what a church really is. What truth really is. And I want to say this, frankly, because human beings are carnal. We are born into this world with that serpentine nature. We are carnal. We are always using these five senses, our natural senses, our five natural senses, to interpret what we see around us. Instead of using that spirit that we have inside us to interpret what's going on. Do you understand that now? Sure, if you are in the world making money as a businessman, you use all the five senses that you can. Intellectual, your economic knowledge that you have gained, in education from primary to the university or to business study, whatever it is, you use all these five senses to interpret, take all these data and try to make sense of it and then interpret it. But when it comes to the faith of God, the faith of the Bible, the faith of Christ that has given to us, we cannot use the natural five senses. We can't. Because that natural five senses is at enmity with God. It's against the spiritual sense that God has given us. Huh? So what we see then, in those time of dark ages, when the Roman Catholic Church began to control people, and they control them by fear. I know fear is one great emotion that causes people to easily submit to another. You know that, don't you? Yes. It's very easy. Human beings all looking forward to going to heaven when they die. Except, of course, if you don't believe in a a place called hell. Huh? And I can tell you this one thing. If there's no heaven, I won't be here today. Because I'm smart enough to know. But because I'm alive, there is a creator. And there's a creator, he has a place. And what's my purpose here on earth? Die like animals. Die like an ant somebody trampled on you. Huh? I have the intellect to know that there is a living God, a living creator. Do you understand this now? And so naturally, majority of the people that are born in Israel, they know that there must be some great creator, some great beyond all this world, that when they die, they must go somewhere. And because of this, the Catholic Church is able to put fear on people. That if you don't believe in the Catholic Church, you go to hell. And before you go to hell, you're going to go to purgatory. You see, they create a place called purgatory, which the Bible do not even have. It's human creation. Now, so many religions, many doctrines were created by human beings. Now, we take an example in Singapore. I think it's the weirdest, it's the only particularly one of the few countries in this part of the world that have so ridiculous, superstitious, nonsensical religion we call Shunism. Huh? You know what Shunism is, isn't it? Chinese called Paisun. You're right. Shunism. You know, in China, they don't have Shunism until lately only. You have Buddhism, the Confucianism, the Taoism. Well, what is Shunism? Shunism is practically all nothing but superstition. Huh? They will worship something at a tree. And they said there is a god there in that tree. And that's just why you find a lot of Chinese shrines. Orders out there in some trees, especially the banyan trees. Right? Isn't it? And you'll find usually normally that if there is an accident, a family son is had an accident, severe accident, on the side of a road, then they will, mother or father will go there and offer some gift, huh? An offering. Because to whoever the deity down is, or some spirit, or whatever it is. Well, they believe in that. And then you have, well, you say it might be some kind of ridicule. It isn't ridicule. It is just common sense that sometimes we look at the thing that's going on, we laugh. You go to Africa, you look at voodooism. You look at some of the things that they did to human faces. You ever seen African people in Singapore having face, scar on their face? A tribal religion. They did that. And in some country in the Middle East, they do circumcision on the woman. You know that? You heard about it? No? Oh my. They did it on a woman. You see how terrible that really is? Well, my Bible tells me different that there is but one God. And all those angels that He created, one third of them rebelled against God. And God cast them down. Took away their authority. And they became adversary to God. And that's what this fallen angel we call demons now. Or we call it an evil spirit. Spirit that turned wicked. They began to rebel against God, began to become enemies of God. And seek therefore to destroy the very creation of God. They are one that able to come up with all these different religion. And that's why we have so many religions in the world today. And now 33 million gods in India. And I don't know how many they have in Africa. But there is a fear on people's heart that religion can create the whole people. You have that in Thailand, wearing all those little talismans. I work in the mental hospital, Woodbridge Hospital. You remember, it's no longer called Woodbridge Hospital anymore. But I worked there for so many years. I have seen patients that are demon possessed. And in one case, when I was in the working there, and I was still at that time a member of the Assemblies of God Church, that there was a friend of one of the deacons, and he and the pastor approached me to see what I could do to give them to find some way that they could go and visit the patient there and spend more time with the patient. And it turned out that that man was playing with those little Siamese idol. And what the whole story goes, of course, in briefly, was that this man had a paunch. He's in his 20, he's only 28 years old, 30 years old, but he has already a paunch. He's Chinese, of course, you know, and I don't know whether he was an alcoholic or not, but he wanted to get rid of that paunch, and he went to see the doctors. The doctor said, "Well, that is just paunch. It's just a lot of fat there. You just do exercise. You cannot take any drug to remove it." And he couldn't believe the doctor, so he went to the Chinese physician. Apparently they told him the same thing, take some herb, but he won't go away. So somebody recommended him and said, "Well, if you really want to get rid of that, I'll recommend you somebody to see." And he introduced him to someone who sells little kwikian. If you know what the kwikian is, little devils. All that in plastic casing, talisman from Thailand. Have you seen people wear that? Have you? You have not? Well, sometimes you go and look at, if you ever meet some Thai people working in Singapore, you probably find them having one around their neck. And you know what? He got one and he started worshipping, and he got more. He worshipping, and he got several of them. And started to bow down and worship it. Until one day he was actually demon possessed. So much so that the brother who was in his same room with him got the scare of his life. For in the middle of the night, the bed was across each other. He got up. We saw the din that the brother was woken up and looked at him, wondering what's happened to him. When he looked at sitting on the bed, and he looked at his brother looked at him, and the man began to speak. And the voice that came out of him, his brother said, wasn't his voice. We visited a home at that time, and that was a story we got from the brother. The brother said, his voice comes up saying, he says, "Do not be afraid. I'm a 1.5-year-old boy possessing your brother. I will protect him." Man, he got so scared. Not only that, he began to stand up and start to jump and dance. Jump on the bed and so forth. Created the din that they called the police. You know, he's gone possessed. The police came and handcuffed him, dragged him. And his brother was saying that several times he has been bowing down to the idol in the living room. And there was one special little idol that he put on top of a magnolia bottle. Remember in those days we have this magnolia milk? You still remember that? We don't find them anymore. It's like just a little ornate bottle, like a Coca-Cola bottle. And he put that little idol to sit on top of the bottle. And then he will bow before it and then dance around it with all the other ones around the bottle. So well, when I visited him at the hospital, I saw him and we called his name. He looked at us. The first, when he was there, the next few days when we went to see him, he was very calm at that time, was locked up in a room. So we stand outside the gate because he's still violent. So we dare not approach him because he might turn violent. And we cannot just go in without, you know, I wasn't working in that ward at that time. I was from another ward. So I just went. And we call him, we stand at the gate and we call him by his name. He was sitting there in the corner of the little room, hanging down, and we call his name. He looked up. Wow! The moment he looked up, I could not believe what I see. His eye was so steady, glassy, and I knew that he was possessed. He looked at us, and then he looked down. You know, and we kept on calling him, he refused to look at us. We realized that, you know, demons tend to avoid eye contact. So well, the staff would not allow us to go in, and the pastor couldn't do a thing. So we laughed. A couple of days later, I went to visit him in the ward. And you know what happened to him? He was allowed to sit outside. And he was already weak. And I asked what happened. I read the case history. And one of the attendants told me, he says, "You have never seen him." He said, he was so strong, he lifted up that metal bed. Have you seen a metal bed in a hospital? Big heavy metal bed that is impossible for one person to carry. Impossible. Two persons can only carry and move it. two person couldn't even carry it and throw it. But he took it up with one with his hand and he threw it across the hall. So much so that the attendant said that they had to call all the attendants by blowing whistle, all the attendants down in the same role of hospital. They all came and took blanket and they all charged at him at one time and brought him down. And then they gave him what we call the ECT, which is to shock the therapy, to shock the brain wave, so that he could sort of rearrange whatever is in his head. So they give him a short of field time, and then of course I guess that the demon all shocked off. So he was sitting outside there all very weak and calm, and I talked with him. I said, you know what you are playing with? He said, yeah, I know I have. He was able to talk. He speaks English pretty good. And I said, how many do you have? He said, I have many. I said, you better throw all the way. Yeah, I throw them all away except one. I said, which one? And he said, the one that is 1.5 year old boy. I said, you don't play with that one. I said, that's the one that comes in, right? He said, yeah. I said, how do you feel now? I said, I feel very weak. He said, what happened when he comes? He said, I feel very strong. You know, that's how demon works. It possesses a person. And a lot of people don't understand. They think that it's religion. It's religion, all right, because it's your faith, your belief. People become hooked on that. And because of the fear, sometimes they won't want to let go. You know, I don't know what happened to what the pastor did with him, whether he went with others to pray for him or not. I have no idea. I wasn't in the ward, so I don't remember what happened to that case. By that time, of course, a year or so, I really left the church. You know, that's one thing about religion outside. But in Christianity, many have taken the Bible as a form of their religion. You may apply for a job or visa to some country, they ask you, what religion you have? You say, Christian or Christianity, whatever. They put the word religion there. Religion means your faith. But you know, to us, what we believe concerning God and our Savior is not a religion. It's a way of life. As you know, why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And those people who believe in Jesus Christ in those years, they were called the people of the way. You understand? It's not a religion that you believe in something. It is something that we believe, we know that we have an experience, something that we know is real. Do you understand? Oh, a lot of Christians, yes, they believe. They say they believe. They go to water and come out. They still remain the same. There's no change in life. There's no a turning around of the way that they've been living. So now when we realize then that in Christianity itself, from what happened way back, in history, after all the apostles died, here came the Church of Rome. And through Nicolaitan spirit, through man began to control other men. The bit of a system. Well, when they did that, the true believers is being drowned out. All the true believers, they were forced to conform to the Catholic Church. They could not accept it, so they were put to death. Or many of them escaped, run away, hide themselves in catacombs. If you go to Rome today, you probably can take a tour to go and visit some of the catacombs. Christians hiding themselves in holes from the evil power of the Roman Catholic Church who seek to kill them. And so when the Roman Church came to power, and later on, after about 1,000 years or so, here came Martin Luther, Zwingli, Huxley, all these other, Calvin, men who got raised up, opened their eyes to see that the Bible is sufficient. You cannot add to it. You cannot take away from it. And the Pope has been adding to it, adding purgatory, adding the worship of Mary. And so the Catholic Church is so taken up, you know. You know what happened in the garden, don't you? It's sex. Huh? Of all, as we all know, in nature, we look at nature itself. That every time we look at the nature, we see, example, lion and lioness. The lion is better looking than the lioness. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Yeah, sure. Look at the fish. Look at the guppies, for example. You know the guppies? Very famous. The male guppies are beautiful and flowery and nice colored. The male, the female is just plain, one plain color. Huh? Look at the peacock and the peahen. The peacock, dread looking little bird. But the peacock open up its nice feather. Is that alright? Sure. In most of all nature, 99.9% of it, they're always the male that is the better looking one. But in the human race, it's the other way around. It's the woman that is the better looking one. Why is it so? Is it because God created it and not so? It's because the devil has made people with born out in carnality, the mind so twisted, and they see the woman in the wrong way. They see the woman in a different light. And the devil is even able to take the woman and begin to paint her face. Max Factor, you know Max Factor? The woman who started that Max Factor, who also produced the miniskirt, who designed the miniskirt. And she was quoted way back when miniskirt came into the world. She was interviewed and she said, it says, what woman do not want to have to spend a time, I know, like a one night stand with a man? You know, she is creating the miniskirt to seduce the man. Right? Huh? And of course, with a high heel, you know, when a woman walks down on high heel, you know, oh man, I can tell you one thing, the sashaying. Uh-huh. You know how model walk on catwalk, isn't it? It's an exaggerated walk. Isn't it? You all know that, don't you? The walk is not natural. You know how they walk? It's not natural. Even the male, you know, it's not natural walk. But that is because a star was created because of the high heel. High heel make a person walk that way and make a person look extremely sexy. It's true. When a man wears a boot with a, you know, high boot, huh? Those like cowboy, who usually had a high heel and back, the man look, you know, how he walk, look at very macho because of the way he walk, because it's high. That's how the devil is able to use the weakness of the human race, the male and the female, by using all the things of the world to enhance the physical look. The Bible says we came into this world, we're going to leave this world with nothing. We came into this world with nothing, we're going to leave it out with nothing. Oh yeah, but you know when you get buried, some people get buried, they put gold and everything in the coffin. And of course in Shunism, they're going to have all this paper mentioned with a lot of servants, Mercedes Benz, and a lot of money sending him to hell. So that he could spend a lot of time and wonderful time in hell. You know, with all the servants take care of. Do you believe in that? But that's the way human race has been taught and deceived by the demons in this world, made through men who use religion to entrap mankind. And Catholicism is no different. They bring out all this worship of Mary, and that you are, people are always, mankind always taken up with women. Basically, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Even Mary worship. Now devotion instead of to the Creator is turned away from the Creator to a creature, a woman whom God created. And you know the only way to make it work is to make Mary a virgin. And make her the mother of God and to be worshipped. But the Roman Catholic people, they don't know any better. They believe only what the Catholic Church says. They don't believe the sufficiency of the Word of God, what the Bible said. What did the Bible say? Did the Bible say that Mary was the mother of God? Or he was the mother of Jesus? Which is which? The Bible says, Mary the mother of Jesus, not the mother of God. But you know what Kelly do? Oh, because Jesus was God, therefore he being the mother of Jesus, Jesus was God, therefore he mother of God. Don't twist the word like that. What was Jesus? Who was Jesus? He was a sinless man born, the only begotten Son of God born, but incarnate by the Word of God. That make him a God man. He was the Son of God. He was not God, but the Son of God. Because there is only one God. Every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ, we are sons and daughters of God. But we ain't God. That's why the Bible called Jesus the Son of God. He didn't call. The Bible did not write Jesus as God. He is the Son of God. Do you understand? But because he was incarnate by the Word of God, and having the full authority of God, now sit on the right hand of God, he received worship. We worship God in Christ Jesus. That's the one of the thing about the doctrine of Godhead many people do not understand. They worship God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three separate gods all together, and they say they worship one. But we worship only one God. But how do we know this God? The Bible shows us that God revealed himself through Jesus Christ. God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God chose to be invisible. He's a spirit. And the only way to reveal himself is to bring forth a son. A begotten son. Born of a virgin woman. Not like every one of us, contaminated by sin. That's why she was virgin born. He was virgin born, but he wasn't the son of Joseph. Do you understand that? He was the Son of God. God has put his seed in Mary. And Mary brought him forth as a virgin woman. Having no knowledge with Joseph. That's why he was called the only begotten son. The only begotten, the firstborn. But we are all begotten of God, but not the only begotten. Because only there is only one. And God revealed himself to Christ, so through Christ only we know God. He declared God. He says, Jesus said, the Father in me, I declare him. The work that I do, it's not me that do it, it is God in me. He did it. He is the one who carries the fullness of God. And when Jesus died, he ascended to heaven, he came back in the form of spirit and began to indwell in us. So we all become a part of the whole body of Christ. Huh? So when the Catholic Church bring in this woman worship, later on, then they begin to say, worship St. Patrick, worship St. Anthony, worship St. this, St. that. So they have a lot of saints that died, dead saints. How do you worship a dead saint? He's already gone, he's dead, he's human in the first place. Why do you how could you pray to him? St. Christopher is very well known, he's supposed to be a protector. Huh? And I believe if St. Christopher, I do not believe his icon is one with a cross and a sword or something like that. Then you have all the saints, also saints. And the Catholic Church killed Joan of Arc. And now they make her a saint. Now they're going to make Mary Teresa a saint. Mother Teresa a saint. Huh? Let me tell you this one thing. All dead saints are dead. They ain't any good to us. The only thing about saints is when they are alive. Saint Tati! Sounds strange, wouldn't it? But you are a saint. Right? Huh? Well, we have a Saint Paul as dead, but here is a Saint Paul over here. Everyone who, the Bible says, God in the Bible wrote that we are saints, we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we are called saints. Saint means one who is cleansed by the blood. Do you understand that? Why do we call St. Paul, St. John, St. Peter all in the Bible? We call them saints. Because they are saints and so are we saints. Paul addressed the church, the believer in his time. Saints. Beloved of God. You cannot be a saint unless you are sanctified. Huh? And when you are a living saint, then somebody can talk to you. But when you are dead, we don't talk to the dead. Some people go to the graveyard and they go to the tomb. And speak to the person that is in there. huh? In the tomb. You ever seen some people do that? Oh my. Especially the Sunnis. You can see sometimes they visit the graveyard with all the chickens and the oranges and they start to cry and beg for forgiveness from that person, you know, down there, inside there. My goodness, if that person can reply, he'll probably run 100 miles. You see, it's all superstition. People are worshipping the dead. Ancestral worship is common in Shunism. But the Christianity has brought it in through the Roman Catholic Church. And other church, other system at the moment, even believe in water baptism by proxy. Water baptism by proxy. That is to say, oh yeah, your father is not a Christian and he's dead. So you can baptize him on his behalf. Oh my. You know, the Bible says now is the appointed time. Huh? Now is the day of salvation. Now if you don't believe it now, how can you believe it later when you're no longer on earth? Nobody could believe it on your behalf. Salvation is whosoever will come. God has given us this free choice. But of course it's sad because some people they feel that, oh, now someone with certain different in certain denomination, they became a believer of that denomination and they receive a teaching, oh, you know, your husband is not a believer, he died, or your son, he died without knowing Christ, then you can believe on their behalf and they can go to heaven. Where do you get that? You're adding towards the Word of God. Whose revelation is that? Who added that to the Bible? That's the reason why every doctrine, every teaching must be tested by the Word of God. Must be judged according to the Word of God. Must be weighed out according to the Word of God. Because the Bible is all sufficient. It's sufficient for our faith. The Bible here, all scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why reason? That the man of God, that everyone who believes may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, according to the Word of God. You cannot bring something that is not in the Bible. You know, we have the Quakers. Y'all heard about Quakers? Probably you don't know about the Quakers. Most of us, I think, you know, sometimes I feel that we have a lot of believers who doesn't read widely. And sometimes, of course, if you don't read widely, you can never join the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I mean, you got to read, well, it's funny, when you're a Christian, you are at least should spend a little time, sometime, read about church history a little bit to understand something. The Quaker. Probably the only Quaker you know is Quaker Oat and the Quaker. And the Quaker Oat, you know, can. Otherwise, you don't know nothing much about a Quaker. Oh, sometimes they're called Shakers. Later on, some place they're called Shakers because they quake and they shake when they pray and they worship. You know, this started, you know, this denomination. Well, they're very much like the Amish too. They're dressed very long sleeve and always wear a hat and out there working. In 1700, oh, not 1700, 17th century, there were two men from this, they created this faith. One of them is called George Fox. The other one is called Robert Barclay. They believe that a Christian, a person, a Bible believer, a person who believes the Bible, should have some kind of an enlightenment in the heart. That is, that God will give, or the Spirit will give to every individual person, a spiritual source in that person that he may draw God's thought and action of what you ought to do. Now I think that this perhaps was a result of misinterpretation of scriptures. The Bible said in John that we have an answer from God. Is that right? An unction from God. And there's an anointing from God. Knowing right and wrong, being led in the word of truth or away from the error. But the fact is that these Quakers, later on, of course it was called the Society of Friends. Or Friends of the Truth. The beginning first was called Friends of the Truth, then it became Friends, and then later on become a Society of Friends, what we call the Quakers as we know. They need this inner light, so to speak. Inner light. Now, we don't believe that. We don't believe in having an inner light thing. We know that we have a Spirit of God dwelling in us. But the Quakers, they believe that more than the scriptures, there must be something that we need. That is, they call this the inner light. And when they gather for fellowship, even majority of them still do today, when they gather for fellowship, they are all not programmed. They just gather and sit around. Then they don't have anybody who's going to preach. They don't have anybody who's going to lead a song. They don't have anybody who's going to say a prayer, anything. They just gather around and they sit, mostly in a circle. Or if it's a congregation, they will sit perhaps in a pew, and then you have on the pulpit and all these elders that will just probably sit around and just pray, and they're just waiting and waiting and waiting and just pray. Alright? Until someone will stand up. And he will lead a prayer, or he will give his testimony, or he will bring up something what he feels the Lord leads him to say. Do you understand that? So that's what they believe in. They believe in this inner light. Now, well, let's go to John 16 anyway. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Perhaps I was thinking, perhaps wondering whether he's talking, whether the Quakers are using this verse. You know, this verse was written prior to Christ's death and ascension. Because there are many things Jesus told himself, I cannot tell you now, you're not able to bear it. But when he comes, he will show you. So later on, when the Holy Spirit descended, and the apostles or the disciples were anointed, and they began to receive understanding. And that's the reason why they wrote the epistles. Huh? Do you understand that now? Yet we also know that the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, is full of symbols. Dragon. Now, of course, we need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not the inner light, not light. Some, they like to use the word inner light. And, of course, many religions always say about the inner light. Even in Buddhism, they have the inner light, right? Huh? So the same thing with Hinduism. They also talk about the inner light. Huh? And light became something that is attractive. That's just all in religion. Many times they always have this light. They worship the light. You have Deepavali, they have this light. And even in Thailand, they always have the light. In Buddhism, they always like light also. Hinduism, also light. In Catholicism, lighting candle is very common. Huh? Because light illuminates. So when they talk about the light, it's always... And they will always use this light thing. But you know one thing? What the Bible symbolizes is not to be taken literally. They are representing something, not the literal thing. So in the book of Revelation, we see all these symbols, and yet we don't know what those symbols are. And we know that the Holy Spirit that indwells in us will give us the understanding. Is that right? He will guide us and reveal to us the understanding of His Word. But that is not to be taken by, well, like the Quaker, they sit together and they say that the Scripture is not sufficient for us. We need the inner light. And that's why they sit around waiting and waiting, waiting until someone feels that, oh, he's led of the Lord to speak something. You understand what I'm saying? When you speak something, even so, the thing is whether it conforms to the Scripture or is it something else. It doesn't scare me so much as to say that, well, someone stood up and prophesied. But to denomination, it is adding. Especially to the Presbyterian. They say that when you prophesy, you are adding to the Word of God. Huh? Well, we have a charismaticism today. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here we have the 12 spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto this dumb idol, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministration, but the same Lord. There are diversity of operation, it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And to one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge, or wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and self same Spirit, divine to every man, severally as he will. Now, concerning spiritual gift, of course, this passage of Scripture has been debated and argued and debated and argued among the denomination. Let me tell you this. When people are involved in denomination, or raised up in denomination, that particular person will defend his denominational truth. Huh? I was in the denomination Exemptions of God. I defend the Exemptions of God's doctrine, the 16th fundamental truth. And yet, when there are certain questions that was asked, I couldn't understand, I will argue my way out. To make it real. There are scripture, they are just at the Trinity. You can argue Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost as three persons. We can argue that. If we refuse to look at other scriptures to see the revelation of the one God, but we'll pick up Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, three different titles, as three separate beings in God, then we can argue it till the cow comes home. And we'll still be arguing about it. And denominations today, the Trinitarian, you know what? Especially this, you know, the Trinitarian churches are particularly around everywhere. Because who started the Trinity? The Roman Catholic Church started it. But they won't admit it. The Protestant won't admit it that it was started by the Catholic Church. They say it's in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible. The Catholic Church has started in such a way that they become one of the muck of the Roman Catholic Church. That's why they have written even in their Catholic encyclopedia and saying that they started it, that they are the one that taught the Roman Catholic Church, the Holy Trinity. And therefore, whoever believes in the Holy Trinity is a part of the Catholic Church. And that's true. And today, people are so deceived into believing the Holy Trinity and they believe it is real. And they say those who do not believe in the Holy Trinity are not Christian people. So I'm not a Christian person.
But they want to know, simple question is to ask, when you go to heaven, how many thrones are you going to see God sitting on? When you have a discussion with your friend, just ask him this question. You believe in the Trinity, and he's still arguing for the Trinity, asking, when you go to heaven, how many thrones will you see God sit on? Now they have to come up with an answer, either one or three. If they say three, ask them to show in the Bible, where the Bible ever said God sits on three thrones. They couldn't find it. But they were found that there is only one. The Bible mentioned there is only one throne. So if there is only one throne, you have three persons, which one sits on that one throne? Now they have to give you an answer. And see how spiritual they really are, or how intellectual they really are, or how dumb they can really get when they give the answer. Because when you have a throne, you have only one person sitting on the throne. You can never have three sitting on it. Just like the pastor of the Assemblies of God that I attended, I thought he was a spiritual, to me at that time we used the word today, super duper preacher, you know. I thought he was a really well knowledgeable pastor. I always looked up to him, but when he told me, well, you can see God sitting on one throne, or you can see three sitting on one. I said, God doesn't play black magic on me, not even white magic. Huh? One throne. You have three persons. Who sits on it? Three sitting there or one sitting there? The answer was given. You could see God sitting as one. You could see God sitting as three. Wow. That means either God is three or one. He doesn't know. Is God three or one? If he believes in three, that means there must be three thrones. Not three squeezing on one throne. You will never see the queen sit on the king's throne. Do you know that? Huh? The kingdom. The queen can never sit in the king's throne. Until last the king died. And when the king sits on his throne, the queen will have his throne, her throne. Do you know that? Don't you? Yes. And which side will be the queen's throne? The left side or the right side? If you know it. If you know, I don't know if he doesn't know. The queen always sits on his left. Do you understand this now? So when we look at how the Bible showed to us concerning this spiritual gift, many churches are ignorant of it. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of it. Now there are 12 spiritual gifts. True enough, there are 12. Are they applicable today? Are they still applicable to the church? Yes. As long as the church is on this earth, that's still applicable. Because Paul already said, it is for us, in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For everyone to profit from it. Right? So, there are 12 nice spiritual gifts. Some of them may speak in tongue, and then some of them may interpret, some of them may have a gift of healing, pray for the sick, and the person got healed. Someone can perform miracles. But some denomination church, they don't believe in it. Like the Presbyterian church. They say, there are no more. They are all only with the early church when the apostles was around. Another problem is we had a charismaticism. The charismaticism came along and they are so hang up on this gift. That's why they are called charismatic. Charismatic. You know what charismatic means? It comes from the Greek word charis. Charisma. Charismata. Charisma. Charisma. Charismata. Gifts. That's why they call themselves charismatic. People with gifts. But I can tell you one thing. The gifts that charismatic possess, many of them are just downright ridiculous. Impersonation. Huh?
One of the things that most important that they held to together with the Pentecost is speaking in tongues. They say if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Now this has been going on since the Pentecost time. Since the Pentecost started in the earlier 19th century. Earlier 20th century, sorry, 1903 when it started. And later on, that's 10 years, they began to separate and the schism began to build up, they separate. And they began to say that the speaking tongue is the evidence of having the Holy Spirit. Now it wasn't there in the beginning. You don't even see that in the Bible. The Bible did not say that. Paul here said, in the books of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30. And it is very obvious right here. 1 Corinthians 12, 30. Have all the gifts of healing? The answer is no. Do all speak with tongues? The answer is no. Do all interpret? The answer is no. Verse 29. Are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? The answer is no. Are all teachers? The answer is no. Are all the workers of miracles? The answer is no. So why do the charismatic and the Pentecostal come around and say that? Do all speak in tongues? Yes. You see, they're adding to the Bible. If the Bible is sufficient for our faith, you don't add to it. If the Bible says, not all speak in tongues, not all can perform miracles, not all can heal, not all are apostles, not all are prophets, then the answer is probably no. But a charismatic came along and he said that you must speak in tongues. Well, he started off by the Pentecostal anyway in the first place. But today, so when you see Roman Catholic came around and started to speak in tongues, you cannot deny that he don't have the Holy Ghost. Right? And even though he go home and he start to worship, take this rosary and say, Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed be unto thee, bless us, holy, wicked creatures, or sinful creatures, whatever. He start to begin to mumble all that. And he speaks in tongues. Now he must be a holy roller, Roman Catholic. A Holy Ghost Roman Catholic. Can that be? Can that be? You know, tongues are easily imitated. That's why the charismatic, they're so hang up upon this issue of speaking in tongues. Getting people to speak in tongues. And you go to the charismatic church today, you can see when they start to worship, everybody seems to be speaking in tongues, all the cacophony. All the noise, the pause in the Bible. When you do that, when somebody comes here and says, are you not all mad? Because nobody understands what you're talking about. Here, watch, and the other one, and here everywhere, all that noise going on, nobody understands what's going on, he's talking about. No wonder Paul said, you're all mad. But Paul said, if someone came and speak in words, that everybody can understand, and then everybody's edified. That's why Paul said, when someone speaks in tongues, everybody shut up. And then after he's speaking over, someone stand up and interpret. If there's no interpreter, then everybody keep quiet. But you know, the charismatic went off on the limb. And you find that in today's charismaticism around the world, you have Roman Catholic charismatism, the Lutheran charismatic, you have the Anglican charismatic, you have the charismatic, you have Methodist charismatic. You got all kinds of charismatic. Are they of God? The answer is no. But they believe they are. That's why we have our city harbors here in Singapore, 18,000 members, having a great time. Just go have a look. People queue up, even the Rock. People have to queue up to attend service. They have service every 2 hours on the hour. Queue up. And people going there not ready to worship. They're having a good time. Because they have all kinds of singers coming up there and sing. Like Engelbert Humperdinck, or whatever his name is. Or maybe sing like Elvis Presley. Sing like one of those pop stars. Some of those pop singers.
or Mike Jagger, whatever he is, you know, and all this different style of singing, disco and all the rock music. The world is deceived. Christianity has been deceived. Fallen from grace. People going out to have a good time. Is that of God? So we know. Because what the charismatic have been doing, the other extreme on the other side, people like the Presbyterian churches and some of the others, they are again charismaticism, will say that, on the other hand, that the gift is no longer in operation. He said that there is no such thing as the gift of healing anymore. There is no such working of miracles anymore. There is no more prophets, no more apostles today. A well-known big denomination church in Singapore is the Bible Presbyterian Church. The one whose headquarters, we would say, right there at Newton Circle. They claim that there is no more gift. No more apostles, no more prophets. All they have is evangelists, pastors and teachers. I just wonder how come they only have three? What did they do away with the apostles and the prophets? You know why? They said Old Testament are prophets and New Testament are apostles and only the 12 apostles, they all died. That's no more. The Bible is written, so they don't need any more. Huh. And don't believe that God is still moving in the life of people. In moving the life of people, God has to reveal progressively the revelation of His own Word. To them, the best put in is that the Bible is all sufficient. We don't add to it, we don't take away from it. I agree with it. But they don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak to individuals. Huh? They don't believe in prophecy. Someone could stand up in the church and prophesy about a certain condition. Or even have the spirit of discernment, the gift of discernment. And discern somebody in the congregation about what he or she had done. And if it is completely a genuine gift, it will come to pass exactly. Do you understand? But the Presbyterian people, many of them, they don't agree. Many denominations don't agree with that. They don't see that it is a gift of God. Many even consider that to be of the devil. That's why they can preach against Brother Branham and say that his gift was a gift from the devil. Now think for a moment. When Jesus Christ healed the sick, what did the Pharisees say? What did the Pharisees say he did? He said, oh, he's casting out devil by Beelzebub. Is that right? Oh, and Jesus said, if Satan casts out Satan, how could the kingdom stand? How could his kingdom stand? Think about it, huh? Would the devil use his own self, his own even followers to destroy his own kingdom? And that's why these Pharisees, they know nothing about God. And they said, Jesus Christ cast out devil by the devils. When a person is demon possessed, try to do that and get the devil to cast him out. The only thing the devil would do is, the small guy gets out, the big guy gets in. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. But when Jesus casts out demons, when Bible believer casts out devils, he casts out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But many churches don't believe in that. That's why they say Brother Branham's gift was of the devil. And all the things that Brother Branham performed was of the devil. When Brother Branham stood there in the pulpit and began to discern the person, the name, calling out the name, even telling you that person where he lives. And yet, they say that it was telepathy. That he was like a magician. He was up to some trick. And there have been records of people who tried to deceive Brother Branham and try to trick Brother Branham. And the Holy Spirit deal with him and call out the name of the person. Huh? And there was one case of a man came out to pray for Brother Branham. Asked Brother Branham to pray for him, and Brother Branham looked at him and said, "There's nothing wrong with you." Put his hand on his hand and said, "There's nothing wrong with you." And the man insists, "No, no, no, I have suffered from such and such and such a disease. It's on a prayer card." You know? And a prayer card, of course, was collected by some deacons there. Brother Branham says, "Okay, let me look again. Let me and touch him again." He said, "No, there's nothing wrong with you. You don't have such a disease." The man said, "Yes, I have." And Brother Branham knew. The Holy Spirit revealed to him, "He's trying to trick you." And with him, there's somebody out in the balcony who is a cahoot with him. In cahoot with him. So they took the prayer card. Brother Branham looked at it. All these diseases he listed down. He says, "All that you have listed down that you do not have, now is come upon you." And the man suffered all that disease. And the same with the man up there on the balcony. You know, people still don't think about it. This is our record. The denomination still can't sing. Let me say something, you know. The Bible says, "Touch not my prophets." Huh? "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." And yet there's people there to go again touching God's prophet, saying all kinds of things about William Branham. You know why they do that? Because his teaching contradicts their teaching. And as long as a denomination cannot see that they are wrong, and when they see Brother Branham teaching contradict their teaching, they will have to stand up and attack him. You understand? It's like the Protestant. The Reformers stood up and attacked the Roman Catholic Church for their error, which truly they have. The Roman Catholic Church had so many errors. But today's Protestant churches, they don't see how God still operates, that God is still moving in His church, revealing Himself more and more, but not adding to the Word, but revealing Himself out of the same Word. The Presbyterian church, many of them cannot accept that. They don't believe in that. If you don't believe that God still revealed, then how can you interpret the book of Revelation? How are you going to look at the book of Revelation? The four horsemen. What are the four horsemen? Are they going to be literally four men sitting on four horses riding across the earth? Huh? Is that what they're going to see? You see how sad it really is. But with that we'll close here. We have other topic to talk about regarding the sufficiency of scriptures about our salvation, about doctrines of God, about other doctrines. That why we hold to the Bible the way it should be held to. We cannot deviate from this one Bible. The sufficiency of this scripture here is enough for us. We cannot add to it, neither can we take away from it. Because there is no other book like this book. Right? There is no knowledge of God except through this written word. Knowing that Christ revealed God. And it was written down for our admonition, for our knowledge that God says that in Christ Jesus is their salvation. There's no other name given in heaven and earth whereby man could be saved. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace truly being sufficient for us, and in thy word, Lord, that your scriptures is given by inspiration of God. And then, Lord, it is written now for our benefit, Lord. Good for reproof, correction, doctrines, and so forth, Father, that we who believe, Father, may be built up, perfect as a man. Thou refurnish unto good work in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we are living in this hour of time to see the Word of God unfold before us, to know the prophecy that had declared in ages past now being unfolded to us in fulfillment, and seeing the Lord truly the world are more wicked than it was before, and that, Lord, many are departing from the faith, many give heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devils, and many not knowing God and started to worship, Lord, idols and the creatures of the world and the things that are not to be worshipped or touched, but
but yet declare those things to be deity. Father, we ask for your grace, and today that you continue, Lord, to guide us into thy word, and that you will continue to unfold, Lord, the revelation of truth, that we will be strengthened, Father, for what we feed on. And we know, Lord, that this old corn of the Holy Word of God that was written thousands of years ago is still good for our days, good for the soul, because this Word of yours is everlasting. So, Father, we praise your wonderful name. We ask for your blessing now, Lord, in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen.